Happy Sabbath to all of you. Are you there? I see you. Well, the title of my sermon today is The Bread. And I'd like you to remember to think about the aroma of baking bread. Can you take a few seconds to remind yourself of that time, of that place where you sensed that beautiful aroma of baking bread? I know we have several bakers here, good ones. I'm not going to say the name, Mike, but we have some that know how to bake bread. And I have my own memories of that. Of course, it's not just one, but I think the one that stands out for me, and I think it's for the most part for all of us, something from our childhood, isn't it? It's something about our childhood that we could remember and we could save those images and everything, all the senses, all the smell and the sounds. And so I remember I was a little boy at that time, and we would come home from church. And for us to come home from church, it was Saturday night. It was not in the afternoon. So we would stay all day in the church, and they would go home. And I lived at that time in a city, and we would have to go through downtown. We'd have to take a bus, then take a train. And so between those public transports, we would have to walk through downtown. And there was a bakery there. And the thing was, the bakery, it was open 24/7. The sunset passed already, it was dark. And I remember being a little boy, suddenly I would start smelling something in the air. It was not a kind of smell that would fill just one room. The aroma of the baking bread filled the whole street. Oh, I can even remember it now so vividly. We were so hungry. At that bakery, they would bake not only bread. They would bake all kinds of goodies. But at that time, I didn't feel like I would like something different. And we would buy that bread. It's a little different than you would find in most of the stores here. It's a little harder, and it's dark, and it would be warm. And so we would break it and eat it. And by the time we would get to the bus station, we would be satisfied. And I hope today you came hungry, because Jesus wants to satisfy us today. Amen. With the kind of bread that only He can provide. I can relate at this time at the verse in the Bible that is found in John 6. It goes like this. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And I can relate to that. I feel like that small little kid with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But unless Jesus will make a miracle today for each one of us, all that I have is not enough to feed you. Because God is the only one who can satisfy our souls. So when we look at the main scripture for today, which is John 6:26, which says, Jesus answered them and said, and He gave the answer. So apparently there was somebody there that had asked Him about something. Let us remind about who those people were and what they had experienced, that they had some questions to Jesus. And because the answer that He gives, it's a very challenging one. Because listen carefully to what He had to say. He said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Now what's the difference? He said, you are here not because you saw the signs, but because you ate. What's the difference between the two? Wasn't the miracle connected to the bread? Yet He distinguishes between the two. He says, look, there is a difference. If you would have come here because you saw the sign, that would have been a different story. But you're here not because of the sign. And it's interesting that in the Gospel of John, I think most of us know that sign is a very significant word. Every time we see that word, there is something deeper than just the surface that we can observe. Every time the word sign is connected with a deeper spiritual meaning that we cannot miss. And so therefore, it sounds like, from what Jesus is saying here, that, you know what? You missed the deeper meaning. And you hear not because of what I wanted you to see. Now let's go back and try to look at what Jesus had shown. So when we go back in the chapter, we start reading in the fourth verse of chapter 6. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And that was very important for John to mention. Because for us to understand that deeper spiritual lesson, that deeper meaning, we cannot miss this phrase. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. What is the Passover? What is the meaning? If we would have put that in one sentence, what is the meaning of the Passover? Passover is a deliverance from slavery. Passover is a deliverance from slavery. Now, when Jesus was there, let's read further. So then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Keep in mind that the Passover reminded the deliverance from slavery was near, and Jesus is lifting up his eyes and he sees the crowd coming toward him. Now, my question to you is, what did Jesus see in this crowd? What did he see? Now, think about another question. What did Philip see in this crowd? Because those are two different things. When we read about the question that Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Apparently, Philip thought about a regular physical bread, and it partly was so. And so his mind probably went to what he's used to maybe seeing. You got to have money to buy bread, so how can we raise money so we can buy enough bread? And he started panicking there, because it would take 200 days of wages to maybe come a little close to the possibility of feeding that kind of crowd. It's not going to be enough. 200 days of wages. And so he's panicking. Now, was that what Jesus meant? See, that phrase, "the Passover was near," makes us think about something deeper. Was that kind of bread that Philip thought about would be powerful enough to deliver people from slavery? And the phrase that we read there, "but this he," Jesus, "said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." It implies more than just the miracle about to happen, a physical bread appearing. It implies much more. And we need to see that, because those who came to Jesus the next day, they didn't see that. And Jesus told them about it. And so the story goes, we well know the story. I think it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I remember I was very little and I enjoyed this story the most. And you can look and find so many different aspects that probably we don't have time to cover right now. And there are so many interesting points here. Why Jesus asked them to gather the remaining pieces. And can you even imagine that huge field? Have you been to a stadium after the event, where popcorn, pieces of all kinds of food, pizzas and everything is all over? Now, 5,000 men were there and they left. And the field was covered with the leftovers. Do you enjoy leftovers? I mean, why did Jesus ask them to pick those little pieces, every one of them, and save them? Was it because he couldn't make another miracle? Or was there a deeper meaning to that bread that cannot be handled without care? I think it's the second. So we know the story. People came, they ate, they were satisfied with this bread. And they decided, look, 200 days of wages just like that. More than that, because 200 days of wages was not enough. That's a good candidate for the king. Again, wrong thinking. They missed the point. Unfortunately, we can relate to that crowd. Why do we seek Jesus? Is it because of the gifts that He can give? Is it because of the skills that He has? He can provide. He can take care. He can do miracles. Why do we seek Him? Because if we seek Him just because of something that He can give to us. Now, it's a very sad part of the story, but can you picture people who are about to make Him king, and He turns around and He walks away from them? That's not a very pleasant place to be when Jesus turns around and walks away from you. But if we look for the things that He can give to us, and that's the only thing that we are interested in, we can find ourselves in that very sad position. I'm going to jump over a few things. But the next day, He looks at the crowd, and He tries to make the point that, look, physical bread is okay. Actually, fish was there too. We need that. But that's not all that I came to give you. If you don't find yourself hungry for me, for me. Now, we find one illustration of that point in the context of this story. We find the disciples in the boat on the sea. And when they came to the end of themselves, fighting those waves, did they think about the fish, the bread, or other things that Jesus could have done and gave them? They were afraid. And when Jesus came to them, He said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." That was the place. It's like the illustration in this story. So there is a time when we don't look anymore for the gifts that Jesus provides. We need Him because we are afraid. And only His presence, only Him personally, can satisfy us. Do you find yourself in that storm? Then if you do, you are hungry for Jesus and not just for what He can provide, for Him Himself. In verse 27 and on, we read, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." I'd like you to look in verse 35. And can you accept these words personally to you today? Do you have enough hunger to accept these words personally today? Because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It's not that I give the bread of life. I am the bread of life. "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." I can relate to that, unfortunately, too. I wish I would have that hunger so I can be glad and satisfied just with Him only, without the gifts that He can provide. Would you like to experience that? I'd like to suggest a very practical way of reading the Bible that I practice sometimes. I'd like to reread the story again that we read already in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 4. Actually started with verse 5. And read it instead of saying the word Jesus as a third person. He, Jesus. To make it very personal and say the word you. And make this a dialogue between God and us. It would go like this. "Then you, Jesus, lifted up your eyes and seen a great multitude coming toward you, and I am among those. You said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this you said to test him, for you yourself knew what you would do." And I'm not going to read the whole chapter like that, but I just wanted to show you what difference it makes. Because I am and you are among that crowd that Jesus sees every day. And we come to Him. Yes, we seek Him. And He can satisfy. But the thing is that He sees a deeper hunger that we have. I have no doubt that we all have that hunger. Every single person in the world has that hunger. The problem is whether we recognize that or not. Or are we satisfied with something less than the person of Jesus? It's a lot to think about. And I encourage you to answer these questions for yourself. Because today we are around the table. And what we're going to be partaking of would be a symbol of Jesus himself, not the gifts that he gives. I'd like to pray with you that Jesus and the Holy Spirit today will help us recognize that we need him more than anything else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing us the bread. Oh Lord Jesus, you are the bread that can satisfy our souls. Lord, we hunger for you. But Lord, there are so many other things that we feel like we need, and we focus on them more than on you, and we admit that. And we pray, Lord, that today, when you are ready to satisfy us, first of all, you would help us to see how much I need you, Jesus. Lord, please touch us right now with your Holy Spirit. Help us to see the circumstances that we find ourselves in, whatever they are. And help us to see that in that specific place where we find ourselves, we need more than any other things. We need you. Lord, open our eyes to that. We thank you for not only doing and promising to do this for us, because the Holy Spirit is promised to open our eyes to that truth. But we thank you for providing the bread. You are that bread. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now this time we're going to separate for the foot washing ceremony.
Welcome once again, everybody. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, I'm going to be reading from verses 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know that Jesus also called himself that bread which came down from heaven. And as the pastor mentioned, and if you eat of this bread, you'll have eternal life. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. The elders are going to kneel down as I pray for the bread at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, all you asked of us is that we just remember what Jesus did for us on that day so many years ago. And he gave us his body. And as we partake of this bread today, we are taking his body into our lives. Dear Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the bread from heaven that we may never, ever die. Come with us now as we go through the rest of this service for your glory, made possible by Christ Jesus. Amen.
While we are waiting for the bread to be given to all of us, I'd like to invite you to share. And I'd like to ask you a question. What does Jesus mean to you? Prayfully, we will accept the gift that God has given us, which is the bread of life.
I'll be reading from John 10, verses 14 and 15. But I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and they know me. The Father knows that I am ready to give my life for my sheep. Now I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. Then he took the cup of grape juice, blessed it, passed it to his disciples, and said, This pure juice represents the fulfillment of God's covenant through my blood. When you drink it, remember what I've done for you. So every time you get together to eat this bread and drink this juice, you are to recall the last days of my life until I come. I want to thank God for sending the Good Shepherd to give us his life for his sheep and for this ordinance of humility. that we can remember him until he comes and takes us home with him. Let's bow, kneel. Dear God, we thank you so much that you shed your blood on the cross and died for us, that we can have eternal life and salvation with you. Without such a offering that you gave for us, we wouldn't be able to reconnect together in your kingdom. Help us to remember this each time we come together. In thy holy name, amen.
Amen. At this time, if any of us would like to share praises, what we are thankful for, share a little short testimonies, this is a good time for us to do that. This week I was reading the Gospel of John, and I was really touched by the thought that I didn't think before. In chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, when Jesus says to Mary, "Tell my brothers, I'm going to my Father and their Father, to my God and their God." And I stopped and think that he is my older brother. He's my brother. I have a heavenly brother, and you do too. And it kind of changed the perspective a little bit. It added more meaning to who he is to me. We are his brothers, and he is our representative, and I'm really thankful for that. Let's thank God for the life that he has given to us through his blood, and accept the gift. Just like the disciples with Jesus after they participated in the new Passover, when Jesus served them, we read in the Bible that they got out and they sang. And I invite you to find hymn number 309. As we walk out through the doors, there will be an opportunity for us to share the gifts that God has given us with those who are in need for the helping hands. I read from Numbers chapter 6, the blessings that God gave to Aaron and Moses. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.